I'm Pearl Mackey. Somewhere unethical. Greed. Copycats. Space. Time. Dance. Witches. Forest. Cyber. History. Doctor. Bill. Pan. Kathy. It's about time we fell down this rabbit hole of life with your host, TJ. Welcome to Fan Wonderland.
Thank you very much, Phil, and
welcome
back to Fan Wonderland. And we have the incredible honour of chatting with Pearl Mackey. For those who
Hello.
Have been living under a rock, most of you would know Pearl from Doctor Who. If you don't know who Pearl is, well, it's about time you got caught up, because Pearl's
that's
going
what
across
that's what we're here for.
A lot of things. Exactly, and that's what we're here for, because Pearl has a lot of things to talk about, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. So let's start from the beginning and go from, well, firstly, how'd you get into acting?
How did I get into acting? That is the beginning. I thought you were going to start with Doctor Who, which everyone assumes is the beginning, but obviously
it's
is not the beginning. No, that came after many years of wanting to be an actress and, you know, watching films. And I used to watch films with my mum quite a lot when she was... She'd plait my hair, as you can see, I've got a lot of hair, as anyone who has watched Doctor Who will also know, I've got quite a lot of hair. So she used to like wash my hair on a Sunday night before school and plait it, and we'd always watch like old films. She's like a massive fan of old films, and we used to watch like loads of old musicals and stuff. And one of my favourites is Meet Me in St. Louis. It's Judy Garland in, I think, I'm going to argue and say probably the best Judy, just best role that she's ever played. And I just loved it. I remember, you know, when I was really little, I remember sort of turning around to my mum while she was doing my hair. It took quite a while to do the hair. I remember turning around to her and I was like, Mum, I really want to do that. You know, I think that she's singing the trolley song, obviously. And I was like, oh, it just made me feel like amazing. It was funny. It was telling me a story. It was singing me a song and it looked great. And it was choreographed, but she was sort of in it and she's out of it and she's narrating the story. And I was like, this is whatever is happening right now is fantastic. And I was just like, I just really wanted to do that, basically.
And I gather that would have tied into how you fell into dance and theatre.
Yeah. I mean, it does say I'm a dancer on the internet. I'm not really. I have danced before, but yeah, I mean, I used to do a lot of dance at school. I did ballet until I was like 12, I think, and then obviously did more at drama school and did a little bit more at secondary school as well. But like I wouldn't say I'm a dancer. I mean, I can get down, but like, but I mean, I'm not like a trained, you know, I can't do a triple pirouette, that kind of thing. I'm not like I wouldn't say I'm like a proper musical theatre dancer. But I'm all right.
So there you go. Don't believe everything that's on the internet, because.
Yeah, I've tried to change it a few times as well, because I'm like, I wouldn't categorize myself as that. But, you know, people are very, very determined that it will be on there. So it lives.
If it's your Wikipedia, I'm pretty sure you can't edit your own. So there you go.
Yes, I think that's it.
I don't think that's where I found it. I think it was your IMDb, weirdly enough. But,
that's
again, that's the internet for you.
People can update those as well, so you know what are you gonna do.
But despite popular belief, we're not going to touch on Doctor Who first. That's going to be last. So if you're coming for that, you're gonna have to wait a bit, because the first thing we're going to talk about is Greed, which has just launched in the past week.
Yeah, Greed just came out in the UK on the 21st, which is very exciting. It's coming out on the 28th, so this was sort of in the week in between for the States, which is where I am now, which is very nice. A lot sunnier than London.
Wouldn't take much.
but yeah, no, indeed, it wouldn't take much, especially at this time of year. But yeah, Greed is out right now. It's very exciting. It premiered at Toronto. They had its international premiere at Toronto Film Festival, and then it had a premiere at LFF, which was awesome because myself and lots of the cast are London based, so we got to go to like Leicester Square with the whole like red carpet sort of shebang. And me, obviously, I'm a Londoner, innit? So I spent, you know, loads of my life walking through Leicester Square and being like, oh, like, I wonder what that's like, sort of being on the other side of the red carpet. Because they do so many premieres around there, you know, and they always like cordon off the whole square. So you're suddenly like, you try and walk through and you're like, oh, okay, cool. That's Scarlett Johansson's just walking down that carpet. I see what's going on there. But for me, it was just really, really exciting to be able to kind of, you know, watch a film that I've been part of at London Film Festival, which was, yeah, it was sick. And it's really funny too, which is...
I was going to say, for those that don't know what it's about, how would you describe it?
Well, it's about Steve Coogan plays Sir Richard MacCready, who is a sort of billionaire fast fashion mogul. It's a Michael Winterbottom film, so it's kind of a satire on the whole fast fashion industry and the billionaires who run it. And the sort of, you know, the massive discrepancies between, you know, what they pay or... the pennies that they end up paying their workers in sweatshops in, you know, countries all over the world, and, you know, how they exploit those workers and the people who run the factories, and then, you know, the massive discrepancy between the billions that they make from their empires. But it's not all serious. It's there are some laughs as well. Obviously, as you'd expect with Steve Coogan and Isla Fisher, David Mitchell, Asim Chowdhury's in it as well. I don't know if you watch People Just Do Nothing, but I was very excited to meet him. Yeah, it's a wonderful sort of satirical piece. It's very kind of, you know, we did a lot of improvisational stuff because that's very much my Winterbottom style. Though obviously he had a very clear kind of idea of what he wanted. It was nice to sort of play around with some bits as well. Yeah, that's kind of what it's about. Did that answer your question? I just started rambling really there, didn't I?
Oh, it's generally explain it, and then if anyone's further interested, we will link the trailer below. So if you want to go look at that as well. And I believe I saw Asa Butterfield in one of the clips that your PR
Asa sent me. Is in the film too. Yeah. Lovely Asa. He was brilliant, man.
For those that have seen Sex Education, you would know of Asa.
Yes. Or The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
Yeah, so I always forget he was in that. I suppose because
it's just... I know, it was a long time ago.
It's just weird because Sex Ed just took off, I think, and so that just...
Yeah, it's amazing. Sex Education's so good as well, isn't it?
I think it jars everyone because it's set in present, but it's got a very 80s vibe, but it feels British, but it's in America, and so it's...
And kind of it's like, I just love it. I just got so into it.
And obviously you've also performed at the West End, which...
I have, yes.
Then I believe multiple times.
Well, yeah, twice. So I guess that's multiple.
I suppose, yeah.
I've done a lot of theatre that isn't on the West End. Contrary to popular belief, not all theatre is the West End, especially in London. There are a lot of theatres above pubs that don't pay you any money, and I've worked in most of them. West End, it's very, very exciting. I was actually working in the West End when I got Doctor Who. I was doing a play called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is a fantastic sort of physical, it's like a kind of physical theatre representation of the book, which is obviously about this boy with autism and his journey kind of trying to find his mother, who he discovers is still alive. No spoilers though. I'm hoping people have read that by now. Do you know what I mean? It's an old book. But yeah, I was doing that in the West End for a year, which was quite a long contract, but nonetheless very exciting. And I was very much like, oh, you know, this is as good as my career gets. I'm on a West End stage. This is very exciting. And then obviously, you know, Doctor Who happened and stratospheric things also happened. but the play I did most recently in the West End was called The Birthday Party, which is a Harold Pinter play, it's very serious. It's very sort of confusing. I don't know if you know much Pinter.
No, I'm not as experienced as I would like to be, but.
I mean, well, some of his plays are brilliant. Some of them are very confusing, but also kind of deliberately so. He used to be an actor, first of all, when he first sort of got into the business. And The Birthday Party is actually his first full-length play. Because he used to be in things like Agatha Christie, in Inspector Calls. So he'd sort of very much get those roles that were kind of the denouement. Like you'd come on stage and you'd be like, I put it to you that it was you in the dining room with the whatever. So he kind of, he very much sort of come on and explain the whole plot, like what everything that had happened. So he very much wrote the birthday party to sort of be a contrast to that. And in that it kind of, it doesn't really leave any loose, it leaves you with loads of loose ends. It doesn't really tie anything up, which can be very, very confusing to watch, but was very fun to perform.
I mean, I like the ones like Attempts on a Life, if you know of that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen that one live, and that was like, it was so fancy people walked out. But I love the fact that it can be perceived different ways. Oh, really?
That's Martin Brooke, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just gets perceived different ways. It can be adapted different ways. And I think that's sort of where my creativity lies. And I like that kind of thing where it's a little unconventional. And I think that ties in well to what we're next going to chat about, which is copycats. Yeah. And at the time of recording, I don't believe the Kickstarter is live as yet. But
I don't know.
For those
that's
that
not really my anything to
do. I don't think the trailer is the. I've seen the trailer, thanks to your.
The trailer
PR.
Is not live. The trailer. Yes. You have seen the
I've
trailer.
I've seen the
you
trailer, have, but and it is.
I am going to drop the trailer on my Instagram tomorrow.
Well, there we go. And this, so that'll be the day after this episode. So we'll be dropping the episode same day. So it will be for those listening today. It will be dropped tomorrow on Pearl's Insta, which of course we'll link below. It's
wicked.
To how to describe it would be a supernatural black comedy.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Well, that's what the description says. So.
Like a black comedy, yeah. I mean, a black comedy, not as in like a comedy, like a black people comedy. No. but I'm sure black people like it too. You know what I mean? Like, not as in like, it's not like Friday or anything like that. But it's like, yeah, it's like a dark comedy, if you will. It's like very sort of macabre and interesting. And yeah, and the subject matter is they're just a crazy bunch of weirdos that have accidentally fallen into each other's paths. And they just want to kill people. But they're not very good at it.
And the short non-trailery version would be...
Yeah.
There's essentially their own Jack the Ripper, and they all want to take him off the pages, basically. And so all these...
Exactly. They want to sort of give him a run for his money.
Think of it as a, like a think of ways Victorian that suicide squad that joins together a group of unlikely people, basically. And
I like that. And, Victorian suicide squad.
And
I'm going to keep that
and
one.
Pearl is Isabella Sausage. I'm assuming I've got that.
Sausage, indeed. Yes, that is the correct pronunciation. Well done. And, very good. And, it's not sausage. Even though that's how it's written.
And a devout pagan witch. And that's about all I'm going to give you until the trailer. There is a picture of sorts on our cover of Pearl as Isabella. And I think this is a really good question from one of the fans that asked it.
Yeah.
And Bailey said that they really want to know what drew you to copycats because it seems different to what you've done before. So they really want to know what drew you to that particular role.
I just thought she was brilliant. I just really liked her energy. And I just thought she was just bonkers, which I really liked. I was sort of that just really drew me. You know, I think it's probably every actor's dream to play someone that's like a little bit kind of off kilter, you know, there's like a few sandwiches short of a picnic. Not in a like intelligence way. I think she's very intelligent and she's quite powerful. But her vibe is just a little bit, she's just odd. I was just like, this is fantastic. I was like really excited. And also, you know, the whole period costume vibe is very exciting as an actor. Don't often get to do much. I don't often get to do much in period costume. Apart from episode 3 of season 10 of Doctor Who, Thin Ice. That was very fun. But yeah, I do really like a period costume. So I was like, a period costume, but a witch is going to be sick.
And it's, when you see the trailer, it will make sense. And I believe the Kickstarter only needs something to the effect of about 5,000 Australian, I believe, to make it happen. And honestly, I would love to see it happen. And honestly, would grab the cast on here in a heartbeat because it's just insane. It's
Oh, good. Oh, well, I'm glad you enjoyed the trailer, man.
really good in the fact that, I mean, as Bailey said, it's very different from what you've done before. I mean, for most of
Yeah.
us, we've only seen you in Doctor Who, which we'll get to in a moment.
Sure.
It's just in the fact that, I guess, because so many, particularly that go through Doctor Who, sort of just stay in that sort of similar role, and then you've just gone entirely sideways to this bonkers, crazy witch
Yeah, I don't
in
know
a
if there's
comedy.
quite a lot
It's
about me
such a
as
shift.
my. Yeah, I mean, do you know what? Yeah, I've always thought if I wanted to do the same thing for the rest of my life, then I'd be in an office job. Or not that there's anything wrong with that, but I became an actor because I wanted to explore different things. I wanted to explore as many different kind of avenues as possible, as many different walks of life as possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love people. I find people fascinating. I always have. I've always been that. I was always that weird kid that would like look at people when they were walking down the street and be like, "What is going on for you? Like, what happens in your morning? How do you put your socks on?" Like, just the mundane everyday tasks of people in their own environment is fascinating to me. And if you can put that kind of those kind of weird, just normal everyday tasks, if you can kind of explore them for different people in completely different contexts, then that's just fascinating. I just love that. I think it would be short-sighted of me within my career to try and limit myself because I just want to explore more than that, you know?
And for those listening, Pearl just did that adorable scrunch that she does so often. For those that have seen Doctor Who, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
You know what I mean,
But before
yeah.
we get to that, there's a podcast that I was very nicely introduced to by your PR. And it's one
Yes.
that I didn't know existed, but I'm now happy I do because I listened to the first episode about 3 a.m. this morning, and it's odd time to listen to it, and this accompanying soundscape, which I'll explain in a sec, was started off really calming,
Yeah.
and then it just got really anxiety-inducing. So it's a very
Yes,
complex
it
one,
is.
and we're talking about Forest 404 here, which for those, well, from Australia, as far as I can tell, you can access it via the BBC website. It's under BBC Sounds for those that want to find it.
Yeah.
And
I think it's on the Apple Music as
I searched it
well.
on my
Is it on Apple
podcast
Music?
player, so I'm assuming it's across
Oh,
most
cool.
podcast players if you want to
Yes.
go find it. They're only about 20
Yes,
minutes each,
exactly.
so they're easily digestible. And
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a proper term for them yet. I mean, audio drama kind of describes it the best, but there's not really a podcast genre as such that really
No,
describes
there
it
isn't
beyond
really as yet,
podcast
is
or
there?
audio drama. Because audio drama, you think of Big Finish and like that's really fleshed out and long and so
Exactly,
on.
yeah. And like a longer kind of
Yeah.
thing, a longer
Well, and
story
that's
as
more like a
well, and less kind of
serial.
bite-sized.
Yeah. And so yeah,
Yes,
there's not
or like an
really.
ongoing radio or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think audio drama probably describes it the best. It's a three person cast, so it's very minimal. There's a lot of overlapping. I noticed, but then I noticed it was deliberate. For
Yes.
those listening and really need a kicker to get into it, there's some serious gay vibes coming from Pan, that Pearl plays.
That
Not
is very true.
spoilers, it's very evident to pick up if you're very aware.
Yeah, that's pretty clear, I think. Yeah.
It's not subtle. It's just very different, and I mean without spoilery, how do we best describe it?
Well, I would say to sort of introduce it, it's set in the 24th century, and Pan is what you might call an auditor of audio. She listens to data from our times, which are dubbed the slow times, because we thought that data was unlimited. So she has to get rid of all of that because data is not unlimited. And she stumbles across an amazing soundscape that sort of transports her into another world and propels her on this journey that makes her enables her to discover a lot more about her world and who she is. and also about the slow times and what had happened before, and, you know, massive differences between the two worlds that she didn't really know about.
And for those that want to listen, it's a 9-parter, so it's not a big commitment.
No, it ticks along, you know. I mean, it's a good one. I loved it when I read the script. I just loved it. I was just like, this is really, really fascinating. And, you know, also has an excellent message, sort of, you know, about kind of sustainability, and a sort of like it's not like a preachy, we must do something, though we must. It's sort of about, you know, what might be in the future if we continue the way we are going. But it's not all doom and gloom. It's just a sort of an imagined reality in the future that is quite different from our own. It is fascinating. I just love it.
And you,
so yeah, check it out.
Probably will hate Pan a little bit for what she bends. That's all I'll say.
At the beginning, yes. I was like, ooh, is there some dark things that she throws in there as well? Yeah. I won't tell you what they are because the spoilers it's too spoiled.
It'll make sense once
but I remember reading that and like, ow, yeah, I would not
it's like,
be
that's
happy
pointless.
With that if it was
me. And you're just like, man, what the fuck?
I know, legit. You're literally like, this is not okay. I don't want to stand by and watch this. But also, it's kind of hilarious, isn't it? Because she's like, well, you know, they had like 6 billion different languages back then. So she doesn't, she just doesn't understand it. Just sounds like sounds to her. It's hilarious.
It really is. And obviously, you know, most people would be here for having seen you on Doctor Who, which if you haven't, you've been under a rock.
If you haven't, what are you doing? Go and watch it.
Honestly, before the interview, I watched a video on YouTube because someone put together 12 and Bill being a comedic duo, and it's honestly just the banter that you had is really good. And I think there's a lot of fans that ship you and 13 together.
Yes, that I think would be popular.
Oh yes,
yeah. I think a lot of people would like that.
I mean, everyone wants them together, but I don't know if that would happen as much. But like and Imogen, who you probably would be aware of, Janoodle, I'm actually wearing a shirt at the moment, but yeah, for those unaware, the San Diego one, yeah, the 13 TARDIS.
Oh, cool! Yeah, yeah. Oh, that is a great one. That is a great one.
Yeah, and as Imogen pointed out in the Ascension of the Cybermen from yesterday, 13 was sad about being reckless with companions, obviously that would have pointed to, well, spoilers. Although you've had about 2 or 3 years now, that Bill became one of the Cybermen, and so and it's still evidently touching on the Doctor now, even though you haven't really been mentioned by name. It's still evident that she's still feeling it, that she messed up with you, and really messed it up, and was just like, no, I'm not putting you in danger, I've been too reckless.
Yeah,
I mean, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very true. I think it's, you know, it was a pretty dark storyline, that one, you know, in sort of the sort of 2-part season finale of season 10. It's bad, and you know, she did wait.
I've got a few fan questions on this one, actually. In that,
I'm sure you have.
That's all right, we screen them so they're not the weird ones.
It's fine.
So Annabelle, they mentioned they loved you in, this is more of a statement, I guess, that they loved you in Doctor Who, and it's nice to see a lesbian character that wasn't stereotypically gay.
Oh, nice, yes.
Was there any, like, betrayal or research that went into that at all from your side of things?
No, I don't think you need to research. I mean, I don't need to research that. I mean, it's weird enough as an actor playing, you know, a love interest to anyone, because you don't actually love them in real life. So whether they're a girl or a horse or a man or a whatever. It doesn't, you know, it's not, it's completely, it's just, you just, all you do is just, you know, make it real for the character. And yeah, and I think, and it wasn't a big thing for Bill either, you know, she was very much just like, this is who I am, what, you know, deal with it, which was great. Because
I think that,
you know, when they first sort of said that to me, I was kind of a bit like, you know, I don't want her to be grappling with her sexuality. I want it to be something that is just part of her, because it is. I think your, you know, sexuality is part of who you are. It's sort of in your, it's in your makeup, isn't it? You know, it's in your, it's your day-to-day existence, but it's not, you know, there are a lot of shows that do that, that do that. You know, they do kind of go, oh, well, this is a thing. And, you know, she's like going through some kind of turmoil about coming out. And I was like, it's great that she's just like, no, it's who I am.
Oh, I think that's very evident, you know? Particularly, again, in the season finale of 10, where you said to 12, you know how I feel, you know what I like girls. He's like, yeah, and you're like, I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to know, make sure you still knew that. And I think that's really good, and we as a community really appreciate when it's not like the be-all and end-all of the character's focus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very the same with, like, Captain Jack, in that it's literally just part of who he is. He will, to put it bluntly, he'll fuck anyone that's alive, basically, which is pretty much what he is. And that I think it's good that it doesn't focus on... I mean, you've got, like, you know, love stories for Bill, but it's not purely focused on a sexuality. It's just, hey,
it's not about them. It's not about the people that she's dating being girls. It's about the dates that she's going on.
I mean, you're not picky. You fell in love with a puddle.
Like, well, exactly. You know, very beautiful puddle, though, isn't she? yeah, but I really like that. It just sort of kind of made it completely chill, you know, and like it wasn't, there was nothing like, oh, when the Pope walked in, she wasn't like, oh no, but what's he gonna think? It's like, she's just like, oh my god, this is long, I was having a really nice time. Do you know what I mean?
We're sure Bill was having a nice time until the Pope came along.
Exactly.
I think that would have probably buzzkilled anyone, really.
Well, yeah, I think so.
Ellie also...
Not really a mood setter, is it?
Yeah, Ellie, they wanted to know, what do you enjoy most about working on Doctor Who?
What did I enjoy most about working on Doctor Who? I mean, I'd hate to sort of put my finger on one element of it, because it was so vast, you know. It was such a sort of expansive series. And there was so many different elements, even just within a day, you know, working on it, that were new to me and sort of interesting ways to learn. And, you know, then you turn the corner and there's like a new monster, and then you're like, how do I deal with that? But also then they take the monster away, and then it's like a, you know, a lighting stand with a tennis ball on the top, and then you're like, okay, that's not very scary. Like, how do I do this? And then, you know, you walk into a set that's like absolutely like so amazingly lifelike that you're transported back to like sort of Victorian England. And I don't think it would do it justice to say what my, you know, to put my finger on one thing being my favorite thing, because the whole thing was my favorite thing. You know, it was such an incredible experience. You know, working with Peter was amazing. Working with Matt was amazing. You know, everyone, the whole crew, the whole, just everyone just really came together and just put together such an amazing show, you know. And I got to be part of it. So I just felt incredibly lucky.
Was that like a childhood dream to be on Doctor Who?
It wasn't a childhood dream to be on Doctor Who, no, but it was a childhood dream to be on a show that is so wonderful because of its was just the, like, it really resonates with people, doesn't it? I mean, the characters that it creates are so kind of deeply touching and sort of so, I'm struggling not to use the word human, because obviously they're not, but there's such a humanity to everyone that's created that is it's just brilliant, you know, and it's so relatable on so many levels, and it's just great. I mean, what other shows do you get to sort of, you know, be in outer space 1 minute and then be in like Victorian England another minute? You know, it was such an amazing job to have as my first TV job that, yeah, it was like a dream come true.
And on the Victorian England one, actually, there's two parts I want to touch on with Bill. Is particularly for most of us, there's that fortunately memorable scene, and I'm curious to know how it was discussed with you, I guess, was the really racist moment in Thin Ice.
Mm-hmm.
For those unaware, the Doctor just turns around and just punches the guy like an absolute legend. Well, and it's well deserved. I'm just wondering how that was sort of...
It is, like, well deserved, yeah.
Going, you know, going through script and going through the planning of that to... Because that's the sort of thing that Doctor Who doesn't shy away from in going, look, this sort of thing is not okay, regardless of whatever time period we're in. This is never going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think much discussion was actually necessary, you know, because we all read the script and we were like... Because, you know, at the beginning of the episode, it's kind of touched on, you know, because she sort of says, wow, there's a lot more people of colour than I thought there was. And then the Doctor says, you know, history is a total whitewash, sort of implying that we have a kind of whitewashed history and historical representations of the past. But it's really interesting to also, you know, be like, well, regardless of whether or not there were any people of colour, you know, maybe there were loads, you know, but there are still people who are racist because that's still a problem today. And there are still, you know, there are millions of people of colour living in lots and lots of different countries. So, yeah, it wasn't really something that we needed to discuss. It was just like, yeah, I mean, I think it got a round of applause when it happened on set the first time.
Oh, as
it was fun. yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it got a round of applause when we read it as well. When we would read the episodes and we do the read through, Stephen Moffat would do the stage directions as well, just sort of, you know, because to keep the momentum going and because there's a lot of Doctor Who's action, you know, so we can't just sort of have someone like screaming here and there. It's much nicer for everyone to kind of get the feel of the thing if he's reading the stage directions. And also, he loved it. So yeah, I think you got a round of applause then as well, which was just great. Yeah, we just all like, good. That's how it should be.
And I actually came across a bit of an article, and I'm curious how this, I suppose, affected you personally as well, and that Bill helped a lot of Black, Asian, and minority ethnic, to use the terminology, LGBTQIA teens come out. What sort of impact that had on you? As I suppose, being the first, besides Jack, being the first openly gay companion, like main companion, I guess.
Yeah. And female, yeah, and a person exactly, of colour, yeah, as well, which I do think makes a huge difference in terms of representation, because that's something that we see even less globally, but, you know, on the British screen particularly. And I haven't read that article. I try not to read very much about my... but I have had quite a few experiences at conventions and stuff like that where people have come up to me, often young women of colour, have come up to me and told me that they, I mean, the first time it happened was in Berlin, actually, as a young girl who I think was about 18. And she came up to me and was just finding it really hard to talk. You know, she was upset. She was really like sort of overwhelmed with emotion. She was crying. And I, you know, I gave her a hug and I was like, "You okay? What's the, you know?" She's like, "Yeah, I just needed to tell you. I just needed to say thank you because, you know, without you, I literally couldn't have come out to my family." She's like, "You helped me do it. Like seeing you on TV playing this character on a show that I love made me feel okay with who I am." And I was like, I mean, for me, that the first time I heard that, I was like, it totally blew me away. You know, I mean, I obviously knew that it was a groundbreaking thing that we were doing, and that it was going to be powerful, but I didn't quite know the sort of direct impact that it would have on people, on individuals, and on their lives going forward. And subsequently, that's happened quite a lot more times, actually. And each time is still phenomenal and makes me really emotional as well, because it's, you know, it's so amazing to be kind of part of someone's story in that way. You know, I feel really lucky to have played the character for many personal reasons, but I think as an actor, you never really necessarily think that you're going to, I mean, if you get to touch people, not in a creepy way, but if you get to, do you know what I mean? If you get to play a character that is, that really, really like resonates with people, that really sits in people's hearts, then that's an amazing gift. But you'll hear about that, but to sort of, to get to play a role like this where people still, you know, come up to me and still say, like, you've really helped me, you know, thank you for playing this part. You've really helped me to be who I am and be free in myself and live in my own truth, is, it's just beyond anything I ever could imagine. And I feel very, very grateful and very humbled to have been able to be part of everyone's stories like that.
It's okay. I totally cried while I was talking about that.
there's the first mate, I mean, there. To be fair, I have to hold it in myself. It's so, yeah, it's so amazing. You know, I feel so lucky.
And I mean, I gather that would have changed a heap for you. I mean, everyone's life tends to change when they join Doctor Who, but I met with not only for that side of things as well with the LGBTQIA community, but also, as you said, you know, for people of colour and for you know, so much other representation that you're getting to reach fans and talk to them and see how it's impacted them beyond just the show.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's a sort of testament to what an amazing show Doctor Who is. You know, it's sort of, and also, like, you know, having things like Comic Cons where you can actually talk to fans, and, you know, those sort of parameters are set up that you can meet people and they can actually come up to you and say, they can explain to you, you know, how, what you've done to help them, or, you know, that's amazing. It's just, it's great. It's phenomenal. And I think, you know, I can't wait to see what they do next with the show.
First time in the TARDIS. I wouldn't be a good Whovian without asking you that.
You wouldn't. No, that is very true.
What was it like?
What was it like? So you see the scene where Bill first goes into the TARDIS. I mean, she, like, sort of, you know, stumbles down the step and is, like, pretty gobsmacked and is like, oh, what's going on? This is amazing.
Is it a kitchen?
That was pretty much my reaction. I was like, whoa. Because it's huge. You know, it is, like, I mean, I know it looks huge on TV, but, like, you know, when you get, you're sort of outside and you're walking towards it and it's just, like, this massive, like, huge dome-shaped structure, like, in the middle of a massive soundstage, which is huge anyway. But, like, you know, the TARDIS is it's just in the one room, or it was just in the one soundstage, because we obviously we're in it so much that it would make sense to handle it. And then you walk in and you go through the doors, and then you're just like, whoa! It does feel bigger in the inside. Why not? Hey. But yeah, it's great. It's so, like, you know, and it's just like, it's just so fun to sit in there, you know, when we were filming in there the first couple of times, you know, people were like, oh, you know, you can go and sit outside if you want, you know, we've got you a little chair set up. And I'll be like, no, I'm just sitting here, you know, just like play with things and be like, oh, what's that? Like, you know, these, because a lot of the things actually, like, do stuff. It's really cool. You can, like, actually, like, play with things and, like, you know, they, like, light up and that'll move that. And it's like, it's great.
Have you tried to get back to meet 13, ideally? Because you've got the custard cream dispenser, you've got so many moving parts in 13's TARDIS.
I mean, that would be very cool. That would be very cool. I think that is Chris Chibnall's prerogative, though.
Chris, you're listening? So do it. We want to see it. As fans, we want to see it. We've had gay astronauts on the ship. Just give us a 13 bill smooch. The fans want it.
I mean, I think they do. Yes, I've heard this from numerous sources.
Do you mean fan fiction?
fan fiction, fans.
Are you saying Pearl Mackie reads fan fiction?
I've seen some of it, like online and stuff like that. Of course, it's hard to miss.
That's right. This might just shut down Stan Twitter for a bit. Shit, Pearl reads my fan fiction.
People don't think that, it's like I use the internet. I mean, I'm not very good at it, clearly, as demonstrated at the beginning of our chat when I couldn't log on to Skype. But I feel like social media, I've got that down, I don't know how that works. So, yeah, I get bored on long car journeys too. I have a little look at some things.
There we go.
So,
everyone, write your fan fictions with the fact that Pearl might just read it.
You never know.
Then if you subtly then commented on it, I think that'd be intriguing.
I think it'd be hard to comment on it subtly, though, wouldn't it? Because it would just come from my account, and then that would be a direct kind of...
No, you go on AO3, just make your own account, just don't tell anyone what the name is, and just go undercover.
AJ, that's going to be wrong, isn't it?
Do what they do, most of them do with the undercover ones, just make an undercover account.
I ain't got time for that, man. I feel like if I read something and I like it, I'm going to comment, and I'll comment on it as me rather than as someone.
Pearl Mackie left kudos on your fic.
What? Oh my god!
There you go. That's how to kill a hoovin in one step.
just ultimate slayage, just like.
But I feel like it would be really cool to see Bill back on, or back with 13. We're getting 13 for another season. Just with a gay companion and a female doctor, just be. Awesome to see both together.
Oh, it would be amazing.
Hopefully they make it back to the 60th. It's about 3 years away, so fingers
crossed. Yeah, it would be cool. I had such a good time on the show, as I've said millions of times before. So, it would be lovely to do some more.
I mean, I imagine you would have seen him given a lot of fan art as well. I mean, case in point, the shirt I'm wearing is literally fan art that's now official fan art from...
I've seen a lot of fan art, actually. I just started a... I used to do like a little fan art Friday thing on my Instagram account, and then it kind of, sort of... I think with the whole hype of the season coming out, people would send me pictures all the time and I'd post them and I'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing. But recently, that sort of... I think that kind of faded out a little bit whilst I was doing some other stuff and people... kind of stopped sending me as much because they do, people got other stuff to draw, other people to draw. Fair enough. But yeah, recently I got, sent a few amazing works of art. I will call them that because I thought they were phenomenal. So starting a new sort of fan art Friday thing on the Instagram account. So if you've got any stuff, send it my way.
So if you're listening, you heard Pearl, send it to Pearl.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
And I think that's really cool in the fact that, there's a whole heap of things around, paying artists correctly and so on, but that's probably a thing for another podcast. But, the fact that, as I mentioned, the shirt I'm wearing from Janoodle, who's a previous guest, just a random plug.
Nice.
And it's... really cool to see fan artists that have really cool art end up being part of an official Doctor Who line. It's sort of baffling they didn't do it for this season, and it sort of looks like they're just throw it in paint, which is a lot of the fans of India just they did them per shirt, and it literally just looks like they've just copy pasted things in rather than putting actual effort into episode shirts. I was get fan artists to do it. They do amazing stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure, and I've seen some amazing stuff as well. When when you see fans at conventions and stuff, because obviously all the work's being sold. They come in and they're like, look, I just bought this T-shirt. Look at that. And some of it's incredible.
Yeah, and 90% of my phone wallpapers are generally fan art I see across Twitter. From Janoodle to Lucy M. Ward, who's done a lot of recent 13 art, and Yeah, there's so many of these other artists that do all this stuff, and it'd be really cool to see BBC like fully embrace that beyond,
Yeah.
the three or four, including Janu, that they put on the shirt for San Diego Comic Con, which I believe you went to Comic Con, yeah, correct?
I did, yes.
What was that like for someone who's, I gather, never been there before?
No, I'd never been there before. Oh, it's huge. It is so big. It's like, it's also quite mad as well because, you know, obviously for us, we're promoting the show. We basically spent like a whole day just sort of being driven between hotels and sort of then just going to different rooms in different hotels, in lifts, in corridors, kind of, you know, walking the kind of back bit of Comic-Con, and just going to this room to talk to BuzzFeed and going this to this room to do like another interview in that room. And so going, this is sort of mad. But, you know, every now and again you sort of get to like look out the window and you see like a huge parade of like cosplayers, and I mean there's thousands of people there, do you know what I mean? It's so massive, and the whole city is just kind of overrun as well. It was just like completely bonkers. I think we went out for dinner one evening and everyone was like, oh, you know, do you want to lift back? And I was like, nah, I'm fine. You know, we were like two blocks down. I think, like, oh, was I going early or something? I can't really remember why, but and I was like, oh no, I'll just walk. And like, obviously, you know, a couple of people walked with me, but and it was just bonkers. Do you know what I mean? It was just like you just see like so many people in cosplay, but you know they're all a bit tipsy because they've been out and they're just having a great time, and their makeup's a little bit smudged, but they're just literally everyone's just having the time of their lives. It's like so fun. I would. I really want to do. Did you see that video of Lupita Nyong'o who dressed up as the Pink Power Ranger and just went around Comic Con?
I don't think I have yet, but now that you've mentioned
it was like it was a little while ago. I think that was when they were doing Black. It was the same year. It was the same year I was there because they were doing Black Panther promotion there as well. But I was like, that's such a good idea because, like, you can't, you know, obviously for her it's a totally different story, but like for me, you know, there's a huge amount of Doctor Who fans at Comic-Con, so
oh, yeah.
We can't walk around and kind of experience it, so it's not people are, it's more like, oh my god, people are like, oh hi, that's you, wow, hello, oh my god, rather than just kind of just seeing what it's like and just kind of checking it out.
Okay, you've all I been think a lot warned, of people Pearl's gonna go undercover at a con.
maybe I will. I have to make sure my hair's pulled back.
It wouldn't be the first time. I mean, Clark Gregg and I think Gabrielle Luna and Chloe Bennett did that at Comic Con as well, and they went.
Daniel Radcliffe did it as well, didn't he?
Not sure. I know like a lot of the Marvel ones did it, and like went undercover and surprised fans, which is pretty cool. I think Mark Hamill's also done that as well.
Has he? Oh, great.
There's definitely precedent there. I'd say do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do that.
Except come to Tasmania and do it.
Ah, oh, that would be so fun.
Because I think you come to Sydney for the world tour, but they always leave Tasmania out, so we'd like never get any of that.
Did I go to Sydney? No, I went to Melbourne and the Gold Coast.
I know I went to a lot of the towns, but it always skips us because we're too much effort, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little sad.
I know, we'll have to rectify that, won't we?
Yes. Come film it. I don't know why they haven't filmed in. I think that even for this season, they didn't film in Australia, which is. I know there's budgeting, but they've like filmed in Africa, so I'm just like. Tasmania's got forests and natural rainforest, like natural.
It's all about budgets and stuff as well, you know.
Live action Forest 404. He would be perfect.
Ooh, that would be good. That would
We've
be
got
good.
The we'll forest to, for it. We've got the forest
You've
for
already
it.
Got the forest. Amazing.
And we've probably got the sounds to match with it as well, to be honest.
Just naturally, just
and
sort of around
BBC's
there.
BBC's got the budget to do it.
Well, I don't know, you know.
Okay, in an ideal world, the BBC would have the budget to do it.
In an ideal world, the BBC would have a budget
but
to do it.
But that's another conversation.
That's for another day.
But is there any like other projects coming up that we...
There are a few projects coming up.
Beyond what
that
we've mentioned.
Not able to talk about as yet just because of, you know, they need to sort of finalize stuff.
You're in a Marvel film, aren't you?
I wish I was in a Marvel film. I'm not in a Marvel film. That would be very exciting. Though, open to it, do you know what I mean? If you're listening.
I'm thinking with that hair, Ironheart.
Yeah.
You've got the Riri Williams here.
Marvel, do it. That would be very
I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before. I just saw it now. The hair is perfect.
The hair is pretty perfect, actually. I've seen some pictures of her online. I was like, yeah, she kind of looks like me.
I'm fan casting it now. If that doesn't happen, I'm going to be real upset.
Yeah, that would be mad. What are they doing? That would be very fun. Yeah, I've got a couple of things sort of that I have filmed that haven't come out yet. That should be coming out pretty soon. Hopefully two movies this year. Hopefully, which should be fun. I can't really say much more than that though, annoyingly. But
keep it on socials, but yeah. And Per will tell you
exactly. Yes, everything will be revealed when it is the right
and
time.
And hopefully, but if all the fans get behind it, Copycats will be amongst that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Copycats could be amongst them as well. Yes, it's
because
it's,
I want to see that happen. I want to see that. I'll, and not to sort of downplay it, but I loved like the indie. I guess is the best way to describe them. The indie film is when you've got like, you know, big actors like yourself that, you know, have all this star power, but then it's often the indie ones that are, they're really good work because they just put everything into it.
Yeah, it's true.
Like it's just, you know, like we had Alex Pavlovich, who is in Snowpiercer coming up and was in Van Helsing. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I looked at the trailer for an indie called Puppet Killer, or I think it was, and it just looks entirely bonkers, and it's usually like the indie ones that are just the coolest thing you've ever seen your favourite actor do.
Yeah.
And it's usually something like that that I think that's why Copycats will probably bring a lot of people in, because it's just something that's so different for you. But then if you think about it, you had so many comedic timings, which was that more of a your call, or was that just the script writing for your seasons? There with the comedy, was that you? Or
I think a little bit of both, I guess. I don't know. I think obviously Stephen's writing is brilliant, and obviously his timing is fantastic, and the way he definitely wrote Bill to be funny, you know, in places. Like she's not like a stand-up, but she's, you know, there's some definite, like, there's some banter there. But I think with the chemistry with me and Peter, I think that just really works, because he's amazing at comedy as well. You know, obviously, if anyone who's seen the thick of it would know that he's like fantastic. I think we just worked really well together. I really love comedy as well. I just think it's just brilliant. It's just lovely to, it's lovely to make people laugh, I think. But then that's probably a sort of another old kind of musical sort of reverie, just from watching Singing in the Rain. Do you know that song from Singing in the Rain? You know, make them laugh?
Vaguely, I think. Old musicals, just for context. Oh, so.
Well, you should watch Singing in the Rain and Meet Me in St. Louis and let me know what you think.
I think the problem therein lies the fact that we've got so many streaming services here. It's hard to find those ones, I guess, is the tricky part.
Well, I don't know about that, actually. I reckon you could try. They're classics. I reckon you can find them.
Oh, yeah, probably able to find them. Amazon would probably have that, to be honest. That's their thing, usually.
Yeah, I mean, you could go proper old school and get a DVD.
True.
It's possible.
That's true. Pearl encourages buying legally.
Yes, I do. I very much do. But I mean, streaming as well. I mean, I don't think anyone's still making any profit off, you know, Singing in the Rain or Meet Me in St. Louis, because they are old films. I don't know if it's not like you need to sort of, you know, support that. But yes, I think buying things legally is very good and proper.
This has been a PSA from Pearl Mackie.
Yes, buy things legally, support things legally through legal streaming and other services.
But with Copycats, as we've mentioned, there will be a Kickstarter link, either probably most likely via Pearl once that goes live, and we will then share it ourselves as well. And please do get behind that, because we in particular would love to see it.
Yeah,
I know Per would love to see it happen as well.
I would indeed, definitely.
Like I said, it's what, five, I think it's 5,886 Australia, I think is what it needs. And
Okay.
between all the Whovians, we should be able to make that happen. I mean,
Well, we can but try, eh?
I mean, it's it. We can try. It's
We can try.
definitely, and the best start is with Kickstarter. There's perks like tarot cards, a script signed by Pearl,
There are
signed
perks, that is true.
photos, and
Fine, we can, yeah. All of those
there's loads of cool
things
perks like that. I kind of want to
are
go
true.
for the tarot.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go for the prop worn by you because I'm just a sucker for props.
Oh, are you?
But that's
Have you got a
just.
lot of props?
Well, as a photographer, there's a lot of the props, but I love the really weird props. So I go
I
for
just like
something
your
entirely
weird
bonkers, like the
props.
mask that you wear, or something to
Oh my
that
God, that's
effect.
hilarious, isn't it?
For
Oh,
those
there
who
are
know
some
these,
weird
the
props
mask will make
in
sense once the
that
Kickstarter's live because it's got a. I'm pretty sure it's got a photo of Pearl actually wearing it, and it's really cool. The only thing is, you need to throw down a
film. It's
couple
very
hundred for
cool.
that. So guess who's going to save up?
Yes, it's also very heavy. So, you
There's
know,
that
it
as well.
just
But
as a heads up. If you want to put it on your head, it's quite heavy.
oh, it'd go on a model set, not mine. So
Yeah,
I'm not worried.
but you gotta try it on though. You gotta
That
try it on, haven't you?
true. That's true. Yeah. But no, I might go for something like tarot cards or something. Would be cool because you need to get it
Oh yeah,
printed.
you're
I think you can get the
definitely
printed ones, or you can get the hand painted ones if you want to throw down a bit extra. So there's
Mmm.
incentives to get
That
behind
paint
this and
one's
make it
pretty much
happen
worth it. I've
for
seen that.
some physical rewards, a signed script, signed photos, early viewing of the film, which would be cool.
Indeed,
And
exactly. Yeah, that would be very
it'd
cool.
be I'm keen to see Copycats. I really hope it does happen. The director will probably find it explain it a bit better, which from memory, and if I you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, would be Philip Wood if I didn't mess that up.
Look good,
Philip
clearly.
Good.
Yes.
And so yeah, there's a bit of a director note on the Kickstarter once that launches. So keep an eye across either ours or Pearl's or both social media
Yes,
accounts,
for sure.
and we'll share the link when that happens. I'm
Cool.
gathering, going by your PR, it's soon.
Should be soon. Yes, it should be
Like
soon.
next week or two,
Yes.
I'd imagine. So
Yes.
yeah, keep a
Next
close
week
eye out.
should be when it's happening. Yeah.
So you've got Greed, you've got
Yes.
Copycats. So you've got two things of
Yeah,
Pearls to support.
Greed is in the UK and in the US very shortly. Don't know if it's coming to Australia, but I'm sure it will be on some kind of streaming service pretty soon.
And speaking of streaming services, if you
So
haven't yet
if you see
seen.
it in a cinema, run in. Oh, go on, go on.
Yeah, if you haven't seen
Go
Pearl
ahead,
in
go ahead.
Doctor
You
Who,
go, you go, you
stream.
got this. You got this. You go ahead.
Regarding streaming, if you haven't seen Pearl,
Exactly.
you've
That's all
got. I believe Doctor Who's on Netflix for the majority of the world, except for Australia, where we've got it on the lovely Stan. And we've got 11 seasons on there, so go nuts. And you've got.
Oh yeah. End your way.
Two fabulous seasons and two Christmas specials of Pearl. So you've got no excuse to not watch
One
anything.
fabulous
I felt like it was two.
season.
I wanted it to be
It was
two.
that much of an impact.
All of us wanted it to
It was
be more
that
than
much of an
one.
impact. I felt like it was too.
Oh, I think all of us
I know.
wanted it to
Well,
be more than that.
it is one thing, though, you know.
Well, maybe if they kill off the companions as theorized, we can get Bill back.
Oh, God. That's very dramatic,
Dark
isn't
way to get there, but I'm there for it.
it?
I mean, after this season, we need some light-hearted comedy. So,
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, and
it's.
I'm full of that. So, you know, what are you going to do?
And I'm gathering Pearl, still watching when she can, watching Doctor
Oh
Who.
yes, indeed. Yes, still watching Batman.
What are your.
Caught up with Tossin Cole recently as well. He was out in LA at this Comic Con that we were both at, Gallifrey One. So yeah, that's been nice hanging out, you know, hearing about, you know, all the inside stories from him. That kind of thing's been great. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's great. I think they're doing a fantastic job, so it's
Thoughts on
brilliant.
Jodie?
Oh, she's brilliant, isn't she? I mean, I think she's brilliant in whatever she does, but I think she's particularly excellent as the Doctor.
I mean that was my assumption from like the moment they cast. I was like, look, Broadchurch, she was amazing with the range, and then like
Yeah,
Fugitive of
exactly.
the Dragoon, which I won't spoil for anyone. Like it just like you just saw the side of her that we've been waiting for since she was cast. I'm like that. that is what we've been waiting for, of like just the flick of a switch range. It's just
exactly. She's got an amazing dramatic range as well, you know, and it's really great to see her sort of flex those muscles, because she is really brilliant actress.
I think that's why I'd like to see her with Bill, because I don't think we've seen like the, I suppose, comedic side of 13 yet. So it'd be cool to see that like bounce off Bill.
Yeah. That could be fun.
60th hopes. Let's hope we can get you back to the 60th.
That would be great.
Before that, it'd be great, but. Chris, you're listening.
We'll see.
It happen. The fans want it.
We shall see. We'll see what happens, eh? You know, it's always good to leave people wanting more. If I came back, they might not want any more.
And on that, note of leaving them wanting more, we're going to leave you wanting more, because
we are.
That is our time with Pearl. So fingers crossed, copycats and everything goes ahead, and we might be able to get Pearl back to chat about that. And fingers crossed, the cast. So. As we mentioned, Doctor Who is on Netflix and Stan for Australians, and Copycats, we'll keep an eye out for the links for that. Greed, keep an eye on your cinemas for that. Tassie might just get it with the state cinema, possibly, because that's their thing. Fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
We do have a state cinema that's a bit more like indie focused, so we might be lucky.
Nice. Okay.
I have seen your scenes.
Well, fingers crossed for that.
I have seen your scenes, very luckily. So.
That's, oh yeah, indeed.
That was pretty cool. And
good.
Forest 404 is streaming now, so if you want to go listen to the wonderful sounds of Pearl's voice for what, 3 and a bit hours, go search.
If this is enticing, then there's much more where this came from.
That's the tone.
That's exactly what it is. That's the tone.
Thank you very, very much for your time. As a Whovian, it's been an absolute honor.
Oh, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you, TJ.
Thank you very much for your time. And
thank you for your time.
As always, we'll catch you all in the next episode.